Hi, I'm Haley, author of the book blog Brook and Binding.
And I'm Maddie, upcoming debut author of Take My Sunshine coming winter 2024. And this is
Lit Sis.
Hey, Mad.
Yeah, Haley.
Don't you have an Instagram?
I do have an Instagram. You can see all that I'm reading at Maddie Reads a Lot.
M-A-D-D-Y,
that
right?
That's right, M-A-D-D-Y.
And then don't you have another one?
I do. I do have a new Instagram that you can follow me for all of my author things at @EmmyGlenz_author.
@EmmyGlenz_author. I love it. I also have an Instagram.
Ooh, yes. Would you like to share?
It's Brook and Binding.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to see anything about Lit Sis itself, you can find information about Lit Sis at Lit Sis Podcast on Instagram as well.
Go check them out.
Happy Friday, Lit Sisners.
Hello, hello.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody. And we are coming to you apart from each other this week, but have no fear, we shall be together again next week. So look forward to that episode.
I keep forgetting about that. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Turkey Day.
Together because of Thanksgiving. And we will get to be able to record a new episode. So very exciting. I hear some background information there. It almost sounds like wind.
It is.
Ah, it's windy.
Super windy. But hopefully when you, because Matt is going to come visit me
at
my house, it's supposed to be warmer than it is now. So that is very fortunate for you because it is cold where I am at.
Yes, very fortunate for me. Yes, so I am very excited for us to be together. But before that, we will be discussing... Before we can get to next week's episode, this week we are going to be discussing the book of the month, the top five book of the months of the year, right? Five of them?
Yep.
Okay. And then the finalist was announced as well.
Yeah, it was just announced, I think, maybe like last week.
Yeah, so last week.
It's just so crazy because we've ranted about this before, but there used to be like when you would vote and everything, you would have all of that a lot later in the year and not as early as it is. And so, yes, it is coming out. The finalists and stuff like that is coming out right now. But that's because we like all voted forever ago. Mm-hmm. So it kind of seems like, oh, yeah, it's the end of, you know, it's towards the end of the year. It makes sense that the finalists would be posted. But it's like a lot of these, you know, we're earlier in the year, like, so
yeah,
it kind of has changed. It's changed last year, so this is I think the second year they're doing it like this. And I was kind of intrigued about the top five, so I think we should just go through and say which ones are the top five and maybe if we were surprised or not if it was posted, because I know we did do an episode about the top 20 and comparing and what we thought about that and if we thought what ones we thought we were going to be in the top. So I think we should go through each one and then say if we were surprised or not, if it was up, and then what we thought about the finalist.
Yeah. And which one we are going to add to our December book of the month.
Hmm.
Okay. So first let's talk about, I'll talk about one finalist. So I'm guessing you do not have them up on your phone right now. So
I
have them pulled up. So I will be the one saying all the titles. So I'll start with the first one, which is A Flicker in the Dark by Stacey Willingham was the book of the year finalist.
Yes. And that was one that you had talked about potentially voting for. Is that the one you did?
That's the one I voted for.
Wow. So look at you. That's awesome.
I know. I was so happy that it like that it made it all the way there. Like I was like, good job, Stacey.
That book was a lot early. It was like last year it was like shared as a book of the month, or was it like very beginning of this last, like of 2022?
Yeah, it was that you like December of 2021, yeah. I think.
So the fact that it has been around this, you know, and made it to the top five, it's It's a really good thriller, everyone. I would definitely recommend reading. We both did. Super unique. Like, and the fact, like, not to judge a book by its cover, but I was kind of like, yeah, it kind of looks like could potentially be a mediocre thriller, but, yeah. You know, maybe yeah. interesting. And definitely had some fun twists and turns.
Yeah, it really was. And I've said this before, but there was this scene from A Flicker in the Dark that has stayed in my head. And it just, like, when I remember reading it, I was like, and it just, like, was just very impactful to me. It was a very nice, like, twist. Mm-hmm. It's also a Goodreads Choice Award nominee for Best Mystery and Thriller for Goodreads as well. So Goodreads does their, like, nomination and voting around, I think they just opened it a couple days ago. And theirs finalizes, I think, in December. So it follows more of, like, the traditional, like, nominee timeline. So I'll just give a bit of a summary of Flicker in the Dark. So it says, when Chloe Davis was 12, six teenage girls went missing in her small Louisiana town. By the end of the summer, Chloe's father had been arrested as a serial killer and promptly put in prison. Ooh. Chloe and the rest of her family were left to grapple with the truth and try to move forward while dealing with the aftermath. Now, 20 years later, Chloe's a psychologist in private practice in Baton Rouge and was getting ready for her wedding. She finally has a fragile grasp on the happiness she's worked so hard to get. Sometimes, though, she feels as out of control as her own life as the troubled teens who are her patients. And then a local teenage girl goes missing, and then another, and that terrifying summer comes crashing back. Is she paranoid and seeing parallels that aren't there? Or for the second time in her life, is she about to unmask a killer? And it's a debut novel that has been optioned for a limited series by actress Emma Stone and sold to a dozen countries around the world. Stacey Williams has created an unforgettable character in a spellbinding thriller that will appeal equally to fans of Gillian Flynn and Karen Slaughter. And I would agree with both of those things.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really exciting. And, you know, we're always, like, a little bit wary when it has, like, a TV relation. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're intrigued by it, definitely, like, it, you know, give it a chance if you want to watch the TV show. Be like, oh, this is actually kind of an interesting storyline. Then definitely pick the book up for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I am very thankful, though, that it did get this far. And as you said before, like, it doesn't feel like it's going to be, like, that amazing of a story. But it really does feel like Stacey Willingham is setting herself up for a potentially, like, very successful future as a thriller writer if the mm-hmm. next ones keep up the same as that. So moving on, the next one is Black Cake by Charmaine Wilkerson. So this book, neither of us read. It is also a Goodreads Choice Award nominee for Best Historical Fiction. And I did predict that this was not – I think I did predict that this could be in the top five.
Yeah, I definitely think that it – got a lot of attention, so you can understand it, like, oh, you know, people were talking about it a lot, it seemed like it was pretty popular, so there must be something to it. What mm-hmm. I mean, that's not actually always true, but apparently people really liked it and voted enough for it to think that it was worthy of the potential title.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll give the little description from Goodreads. So it says, we can't choose what we inherit, but can we choose who we become? In present-day California, Eleanor Bennett's death leaves behind a puzzling inheritance for her two children, Byron and Benny, a black cake made from a family recipe with a long history and a voice recording. In her message, Eleanor shares a tumultuous story about a headstrong young swimmer who escapes her island home under suspicion of murder. The heartbreaking tale Eleanor unfolds, the secret she holds back, and the mystery of a long-lost child challenge everything the siblings thought they knew about their lineage and themselves. Can Byron and Benny reclaim their once-close relationship, piece together Eleanor's true history, and fulfill her final request to share the black cake when the time's right? Will their mother's revelation bring them back together or leave them feeling more lost than ever? Charmaine Wilkerson's debut novel is a story of how the inheritance of betrayals, secrets, memories, and even names can shape relationships in history. Deeply evocative and beautifully written, Black Cake is an extraordinary journey through the life of a family changed forever by the choices of its matriarch.
Okay.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like I had to have at one point read the description for this book. I don't think I knew. I could have told you what it was about until now.
Yeah, I think it is familiar, but definitely not to the point where I'm like, oh yeah, like I could tell you exactly what was going to happen. But when you're reading, I was like, oh yeah, I remember reading about this.
Yeah, and now I'm a little intrigued, so I just put it on my to read list. But the other thing that I have never noticed, and this is literally on me, this is me every time there's a book cover like this, there's a face on the cover.
Uh-huh.
Never seen it till right now.
Yeah. They like to trick you with those abstract faces.
They do. And I literally, there's another book like that where it was like, oh, you know what it was? It's the new book. It's the second book in the,
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. What's the book called?
Yeah, for Lee Bardugo, yes. There's a rabbit.
There's a rabbit.
Like, oh, like a white squiggle. And it's like, oh no, that's like a bunny rabbit.
Yeah, I was so confused what it is. I was like, it's something recently. It's the second book in Ninth House, Hellbent. And I didn't realize it was a rabbit. Mm-hmm. I just don't look at the background. I think I just look at the words, but now I can't unsee the face on Black Cake. And I'm like, how have I never seen it, you know?
Yep.
Weird. Okay. So moving on. Again, we kind of predicted Black Cake was going to get that far. This is another book. A lot of these were, I would say, Flicker in the Dark, I was like pleasantly surprised made it to the top five.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, I was like, oh, good job, Flicker in the Dark. The rest of them, I feel like we predicted that all of them would make it to the top five.
Or at least was a potential option. Yes. For sure.
So next is The Lincoln Highway by Amor Towles. And I will say before that I did not like this book because I thought it was going to be something different. And it's totally on me because I didn't reread the description before I started reading it. But I also should say, like, you should be able to, like, enjoy it without having to read the description again. And I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
So this is, I'm not even going to read the full description because I think, you know.
Just give a quick little synopsis.
I'll give a good synopsis.
A little nugget.
Yeah, because I'm mad at the description. But anyway, it has to do with this guy named Emmett is driving home to Nebraska where he has just served a year from a work farm for involuntary manslaughter. And his mom is long gone. His father's deceased and he is headed to the family farm, which is foreclosed on the bank. And he is going to pick up his 8-year-old brother, which I will say it is never described that he's 8 years old. I keep thinking it's like this like 14-year-old younger brother, which is why a lot of the things that he would do, I'd be like, that's confusing. That's a weird. Why would he say that? That's odd. It's because he's 8. Never realized that. And head west where they can start their lives anew. But when the warden drives away, Emmett discovers that two friends from the work farm have hidden themselves in the trunk of the warden's car. May I also say this book is extremely confusingly written to the point that I barely understood that that was what was happening. I think I honestly didn't realize till now that he was on a work farm and that those were his friends. I think it was just extremely hard
like
for
random
me to,
people that showed up.
Yes. And it was like very hard for me to grasp, but like this was where the plot was going. I thought it was like, oh, this is like a funky start to the book. No, like this is the plot. The plot is these people hid. It's weird. And
that's
anyway,
the main point.
That's the whole point. And then the main thing is just pretty much trying to find a way to get like those people gone. And it says they hatch an altogether different plan for Emmett's future. So like my understanding of this book was supposed to be this like cross-country road trip story with these two brothers. And I think I must have just missed the mark where that just doesn't happen. So I knew a lot of people loved this book. I knew it was probably going to be in the top five. Am I disappointed by it? Yes.
Okay. I feel like I can't speak to it because I have not read anything by him and I don't know much about this book because I didn't read it. So,
yeah,
I mean, it's a book that it's been talked a lot about. So it's been passed around and you know what I mean? So I think if you were trying to go with like, what are some big names or big book covers that I've seen around, then yeah, you could have anticipated it.
Yeah, for sure. And then now this fourth one you and I can both discuss. So that is The Love Hypothesis by Allie Hazelwood. Mm-hmm. And I jokingly told you I was going to vote for it and you were not happy about that.
Well, I didn't mean, I mean, you could have obviously voted for it, but I was like, everyone's going to vote for it because everyone loves it. You know what I mean?
Everyone,
but like, there's
everyone does
be a
love
reason,
it.
So,
okay. Do you want to discuss Love Hypothesis then?
Sure. So essentially, it is about this girl who is in this PhD program, and she has a best friend / roommate who she's trying to like get off her back about dating, because she kind of like there it's a little complicated, but there's like some like relationship drama, and like this guy dated somebody else, like anyway, she to try to like make her friend feel like, hey, you know, you can like fully embrace your relationship and go for this and like whatever, she's like, I'm in a relationship, I've moved on, you know what I mean? And she, the way she does that is that she just like realizes that her friend is walking down this hallway, mm-hmm. and sees the first guy near her and thinks, oh crap, she's gonna see me, I told her I was on a date, I need to grab a guy. And she mm-hmm. just grabs this random guy and ends up being this like TA guy or doctor, like this really mm-hmm. like someone that's like high up in the program. And she's like, oh crap, what did I just do? But after she explains everything to him, they kind of put on this like fake dating trope, you know, situation. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say anything else, but yeah, fake dating with like PhD intelligent people, but also struggle with relationships. So that's what I'd have to say.
Yes. So, and it has a lot of like fun, like sciencey stuff in it, because the author, Allie Hazelwood, is like a chemist or something like that. Like she's like in, she like was initially like a scientist before she wanted to start writing. And always good to remember that Love Hypothesis was originally a Kylo Ren and Rey fan fiction.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Never forget that. But very predictable to be on the top five. I gave it 5 stars. I really liked the book. I thought it was well hyped up. I read it in like a sitting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't think, you know, I think it's really hard to vote for like a romance
the
like that.
The hyped up one?
Yeah, no, or just
as like the book of the year.
Yeah, but also just like a romance, I guess, because like, yeah, in my head, romances are not like serious fiction usually.
Unless it's like deeper.
Yeah, like an Emily Henry.
Bit more oomph. I knew you were going to say that.
Whatever. It's true.
Yeah. Okay, what's our last one?
And our last one is The Winner, which is Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. And so that is about, it says it's the storied life of AJ, it's a, two friends often in love, but never lovers, come together as creative partners in the world of video game design, where success brings them fame, joy, tragedy, duplicity, and ultimately a kind of immortality. On a bitter cold day in the December of his junior year at Harvard, Sam Masur exits a subway car and sees amid the hordes of people waiting on the platform, Sadie Green. He calls her name. For a moment, she pretends she hasn't heard him, but then in turn, she turns and a game begins, a legendary collaboration that will launch them to stardom. These friends, intimate since childhood, borrow money, beg favors, and before even graduating college, have created their first blockbuster, Ichigo. Overnight, the world is theirs. Not even 25 years old, Sam and Sadie are brilliant, successful, and rich, but these qualities won't protect them from their own creative ambitions or the betrayals of their hearts. Spanning 30 years from Cambridge, Massachusetts to Venice Beach, California, lands in between and far beyond, Gabrielle Zevin's Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow is a dazzling and intricately imagined novel that examines the multifarious nature of identity, disability, failure, and redemptive possibilities in play, and above all our need to connect, to be loved, and to love. And it is a Goodreads Choice Award nominee for Best in Fiction. And so it won Book of the Year. A lot of people have loved it. They've really hyped it up. I almost got it for my book the month that came out. Yeah, but I was like, man.
Video I thought games? Premise sounded super interesting. It's kind of like a one day in my mind.
Yeah, I can see that.
But with a little bit more like nerd. And so I was like, this seems really interesting, but there's going to be like a ton of video game talk. I'm not really into that.
I know.
So this is obviously, even if this was not the winner, this was the one I was going to pick out of the top five. So it mm-hmm. just confirms to me that, yes, it's worth reading because it was a winner.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it's going to be a big winner. So you are saying that that is the one you're choosing from the top five?
Yes. Okay. I already knew that before it was the winner. Like yeah. before they were like, this is the winner. I was like, ooh, this is the one I want to get from my book when I saw the top five.
Yeah.
Or from
yeah.
my box.
Yeah, I think since you're going to get Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, I think I might get Black Cake because that one actually kind of really intrigued me when I reread about it. So
wow, okay, go for it then. Historical fiction.
I know, because I was originally going to do Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow, but then I realized, you know, if you do that too, I mean, we could read it at the same time, but we could take a bigger advantage of all the books and get two different ones.
That's very true.
Yeah, so that's a little bit about the book of the year. They've been doing it consistently since 2016. And it's always exciting just to see what the book of the year is going to be. So Haley, would you like to share what you're reading right now?
Yeah, I am actually just trying to wrap up Sign Here by Claudia Lux. I don't have very much left, so I'm hoping either tonight or tomorrow it'll be done. And then I'm going to pick up. I have a pile piling. So we will see what draws my attention, but I do have a lot of exams coming up for my schooling. So a lot of my free time is going to be going to studying, but I did tell myself, I can't get rid of something enjoyable that I like to do because I need a mental break once in a while.
Good. So, that's important.
Yes. But I'm not sure what to pick up next. So next week we will, you guys will all know what it was.
You'll find out.
Yeah. What about you? What are you reading?
So I am just finishing. So at the time that we're recording this, I have like less than 100 pages left of Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston. So I'm trying to work through all my library books that I got because I have to return them all. But after that, I'm going to be starting The Wise Man's Fear by Patrick Rothfuss.
Woohoo!
I'm not sure if any of our listeners were aware that Haley is very excited for me to read this book. And then after,
I had no clue that's what you're reading next.
Yes. Exciting. And after I read it, I have two more books left from the library, and I feel like I'm on a roll now because I was studying for an exam that I finally took, studying for like a couple months. And so now I feel like I have a ton of free time. Yeah. So I'm like, ooh, and I'm kind of getting back into like a big like reading mode. I've definitely read three books this month. More than that, I have read, let me see so far. One, two, three. Four books so far this month, and then Right Royal Blue would be five. And if I get those next three done, I'll be up to eight.
You're back to your standard. Look
I'm
at you.
Back to it. I'm very feeling a lot of the pressure because I have still to read 14 books for the rest of the year. So I have like
you
a little bit
it.
Of heat under my booty to get it done, and I'm feeling motivated. So that is what I'm reading.
I love it.
All right, you guys. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Litsis. We will be coming at you together next week, but until then, thanks for taking a break from reading. Now go flip some pages.